I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. The Chris Ann Hall Radio Show and the Chris Ann Hall Television Show. If you don't know about the television show yet, you need to go to my website, ChrisAnnHall.com. Find the tab that says the Chris Ann Hall Show and go to the TV show portion, and it will show you and direct you on how to watch the television show twice a week, every week, and I'm very excited about that. Liberty over security. Can we say that again, please? Liberty over security. Principle over party. And truth over our favorite personalities. Say that again. Truth over our favorite personalities. We're going to be talking about some things today, this liberty over security principle and this understanding that we have got to call out even our favorite people when they talk about things that they ought not be talking about, the trampling upon our liberty. We're going to hear a lot from Samuel Adams today. You know, there's a fundamental wisdom in the framers of America. They understood human nature. They understood how government and people interact all the time without change. This is not a brave new world. We have not changed anything about how government and people react. Solomon said there is nothing new under the sun because human nature never changes. It's exactly the same as it was in the garden. The only thing we've done is become more technologically advanced and more arrogant and more self-centered. We've come to believe that because we're technologically advanced, we must be intellectually superior. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be insulting in any way. But by the framer's standard of knowledge and wisdom, we are fundamentally ignorant. That's why we're in the situation that we're in. I think our framers actually believed that we would build on our wisdom from their foundation. And I believe from reading Thomas Jefferson that he had the fullest of faith that we would become such an amazing civilized people with this understanding of government and people and how government must be limited in this box. We've got to put government in a box and keep them there. And with that understanding, that fundamental foundation of limited government and power coming from the people, we would not advance, not just in technology, but in wisdom and in knowledge with government. And it seems as if the more we have progressed technologically, the more we have regressed governmentally, civically. And we're going to hear from our framers today. Because they have some wisdom for us. Wisdom in the face of tragedy. Wisdom in the face of a threat on our liberty. You see, Samuel Adams said, "No people will tamely surrender their liberty when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. But to the contrary, when a people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders." We're sinking, America. We're sinking. Because it's not just the Marxists. It's not just the communists anymore. It's not just the liberal progressives. We have people who hold themselves up to be constitutionalists, or in the very least, to be conservatives, that are crying out for security over liberty. You can't have that. It's a false paradigm. You will never have 100% security, and you will always lose liberty. You see, there are things that we need to understand and things that we need to learn. And so today, we are going to talk about, believe it or not, we're going to talk about gun control. Because that's in our media today. All our pundits are talking about it. Our president is talking about it. All our politicians are talking about it. Our favorite talking heads are talking about it. We need to know about gun control. And our framers had gun control in mind when they drafted the Second Amendment. So we're going to talk about gun control, American framer style, today. But we're going to have to lay a few bits, some cornerstones. And in order to lay the first cornerstone, I want to talk to you about something that James Madison taught in an essay that he wrote called Property in 1792. And James Madison said in Property, "In a word, as a man is said to have a right to his property, he may be equally said to have a property in his rights." Now let's look at that for a second, because that is a very, very powerful and a very, very important foundational principle. That you not only have a right to property, you have a property in your rights. Your right to property comes from this fundamental principle and understanding of natural law. Samuel Adams wrote in his essay called The Natural Rights of the Colonists of Men. And he said, among the natural rights of the colonists are these. First, life. Secondly, liberty. Third, to property. Together, number four, with the right to support and defend them in the best manner they can. These are evident branches of, rather than deductions from, the duty of self-preservation, commonly called the first law of nature. The first law of nature. The first law of nature is your duty to self-preservation. I mean, think about that. From a simple, fundamental perspective, your first duty is to self-preservation. Why? Because if you can't preserve yourself, then what else can you preserve? If you do not have a security in your person, then absolutely nothing else is secure. That's the law, natural law. The first of natural law is your duty to self-preservation. And James Madison is saying, look, you have a natural right to property. That physical property where you stomp your feet, you have a natural right to acquire that. Now, you don't have the natural right to have somebody give it to you. There is no natural right to have stuff given to you. All of your natural rights are yours to maintain and to acquire on your own, with, of course, the exception of life, right? Because nobody gives you life except for the giver of life. And so that first right of life, but liberty, is not just something given to you from God, but something that you have to hold on and secure. Property is not something that is given to you by government. I'm sorry, did the government make the Sierra Mountains? Did the government make the plains of the Midwest? Did the government make the beaches? No. That property has been given to us by God, and we are to be stewards of that property. And in that stewardship, we have a right to acquire that property, to be stewards over it, acquire it, maintain it, hold it. And James Madison is saying, look, your physical property where you stomp your feet is a tangible right. But your rights are just as physical as that property. And so let's look at this by way of analogy. We all, if you buy a piece of property, you get a survey of your property. The property lines are drawn, the survey is stored at the property appraiser's office. Everybody knows your property boundaries. What happens if a government agent comes to your doorstep one day and says to you, "Hey, I have a copy of your survey of your property. And in this survey, we have the boundaries of your property. We see these clear lines that mark out your property lines." But we also have to recognize that it's been several decades since we have actually formally done this survey. You know, I mean, from its original outline. And we are going to have to realize that we're a different society now than we were those several decades ago. We're more technologically advanced. We have greater threats against our person and our property today. We have greater needs today than we had back then. And in light of this ever-changing society and the evolving threats that we're dealing with and the evolving needs that we have, we're going to take your property lines and we're going to reinterpret your property lines in about 2 feet on all sides. Now, it's just 2 feet. You're not going to miss these 2 feet. It's not a big deal. And don't worry, we're going to uniformly reinterpret property lines across the board. Your neighbor's property lines will be reinterpreted 2 feet on all sides as well. And look what this does for you. You see, this 2 feet on your side and this 2 feet on your neighbor's side gives us a 4-foot buffer of safety. A 4-foot buffer where we can provide you with greater safety and even greater services because we have these evolving needs. And so all you have to do is just simply agree. We're going to reinterpret these lines. Just sign on the dotted line. You're not going to miss it. How many of you are going to sign up on that? You're not. Many of you are going to get angry and say, "Get off my porch. You're not reinterpreting anything." But you see, if we would not allow the government to reinterpret our physical property lines, Madison is saying, why would you allow the government to reinterpret your rights? The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Our right to speech, freedom of press, cannot be reinterpreted.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So if you would not allow the government to reinterpret your property lines, then why do we sit back and allow the government to reinterpret our rights? Do you know what the irony of that is? They are reinterpreting our rights based upon their needs and desires. And the government is reinterpreting our rights based on their needs and their desires. Our rights, those things which are inalienable, those things which come from God, not from government, are being reinterpreted by the very entity whose only purpose is to secure them. Think about that. The Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. Governments are instituted among men with the sole purpose to secure our rights. And the very purpose for which they are created, they are violating with our permission. Because we fail to see that liberty must come before security. That we cannot trade liberty for security because security is an illusion. You will never be secure. You will never be free from fear. You will never be free from pain. You will never be free from suffering. You will never be free from those things until you leave this earth. You see, this are the truths. These are the truths that we must hold on to. That these rights are ours. Gun control. How does that play into that? You know, I'm reading this. Geraldo Rivera. As if Geraldo Rivera has any real credibility in any type of intelligent conversation about these issues. He's a sensationalist. I'm sure he's a smart man. But when it comes to these types of things, he is fundamentally ignorant. You know, I put out a Twitter the other day that Americans are fundamentally ignorant, and somebody got insulted. Chrisanne, you shouldn't be insulting people like that. Americans are not ignorant. Yes, we are. You see, I didn't call people stupid. Stupid and ignorant are different. Stupid is stupid. Stupid is as stupid does. Ignorant just means you lack the knowledge. And Americans lack the knowledge. And Geraldo Rivera is fundamentally ignorant. Geraldo Rivera, who is on Fox News. Okay, I want you to really grasp this now. Fox News has Geraldo Rivera as one of their reporters. Tweets that the Second Amendment is stupid and that Americans should not rationalize otherwise. He posted on Facebook as well. Like I always say, Geraldo Rivera says, the Second Amendment, the provision that gives every American the right to keep and bear arms, is blind and stupid. Okay, so number one, he's very wrong there. The Second Amendment does not give Americans the right to keep and bear arms. Remember, Samuel Adams said that is part of natural law. That is our fundamental right. That is a natural right to keep and bear arms. Why? Because it follows with the first law of nature of self-preservation. Your right to protect your life, your liberty, your property is part of natural law, the first natural law. So our right to keep and bear arms does not come from the Second Amendment, and the government can lose its stinking mind and rewrite the Second Amendment every day if it wants to. It will still not remove my right to keep and bear arms. They may attempt to remove my availability. They may attempt to remove my privileges, but they cannot take my rights. And that's something that we need to understand. And I think that we have become fundamentally ignorant upon these things because we have failed to recognize the source of these rights and the purpose of them. Fox News, seriously, come on, people. Let's get educated.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So will you allow me the next 12 minutes to educate on the Second Amendment? We have another Fox News pundit, Shepard Smith, calling for gun control. Our president calling for gun control. Shepard Smith from Fox News, really. Fox, come on now. Give me a call, okay? Can you give me a call, Fox? I will give the people who watch Fox News a real constitutional education, and I won't charge you what they charge you. Come on, seriously. All right, all kidding aside, let's really, really get into this. Because we need to understand this fundamental principles of our right to keep and bear arms. Remember, Samuel Adams tells us in 1772, the rights of the colonists. Now, if the colonists have these rights, how much more will free men of a republic have? Among the natural rights of the colonists are these. First, a right to life. Secondly, to liberty. Thirdly, to property. Together, number four, with the right to protect and defend them in the best manner they can. Not in the least intrusive manner, not in the most adequate manner, but in the best manner they can. These are evident branches of, rather than deductions from, the duty of self-preservation, commonly called the first law of nature. Your right to defend your life, your liberty, your property in the best manner you can is not something that we have to extrapolate or deduce. It is directly evidenced by the first law of nature, your right to self-preservation. And that is something that we must hang on to, because if you don't hang on to that, you have absolutely nothing. George Mason, who is the father of our Bill of Rights, that's what we call him. If you come through my history class, however, you know that George Mason is not the father of the Bill of Rights. I don't mean to insult Mason descendants, but it's the truth. George Mason is not the father of the Bill of Rights. John Leland is the father of the Bill of Rights. And without James Madison, there would have been no Bill of Rights. And so George Mason was a huge proponent of the Bill of Rights, a brilliant man. And even though he may not actually be the father of the Bill of Rights, we refer to him as that, so we have to give him a certain amount of authority. He said, 40 years ago, when the resolution of enslaving America was formed in Great Britain, the British Parliament was advised by an artful man who was governor of Pennsylvania. Now, in the colonial days, the governors were appointed by the king, not elected by the people. And this appointee in Pennsylvania was obviously a loyalist to the central government, to the king. And he's advising Parliament that they must, now listen, disarm the people, that it was the best and most effectual way to enslave them, but that they should not do it openly, but weaken them and let them sink gradually. Maybe we should make them afraid of the guns, so that they will voluntarily give them up. Maybe we can write regulations that will limit their access to ammunition and firearms. Maybe we will make it just difficult for them to buy the parts that they need. We'll shut down all their access. Don't show up on their front porch to disarm them, Mason is saying, that this governor of Pennsylvania was advising. The governor of Pennsylvania says, don't show up on their front porch to disarm them, because they will shoot you in the forehead. You need to weaken them behind the scenes so that they will disarm themselves. Really. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, the government has to ignore that whole shall not provision in order to, you know, reinterpret. They focus on the first four words, a well-regulated militia. And they will tell you, well, the Second Amendment doesn't really apply to the individual because it says a well-regulated militia. And since it says a well-regulated militia, we know that only can mean the forces organized by government, because everybody knows that nobody regulates as well as the government. A well-regulated militia must be a well-governed militia. Not true. So we need to answer two questions. Number one, what is the security of a free state, and who are the militia? Well, George Mason has told us what the security of the free state, one who is not enslaved by being disarmed. Who are the militia? Mason says. They consist now of the whole people except a few public officers. The militia are the whole body of the people, not including the government. But he continues and says, but I cannot say who will be the militia of the future day if that paper on the table gets no alteration. If the militia, the militia of the future day may not consist of all classes, high and low and rich and poor. The next person we're going to hear from is Noah Webster. Noah Webster is the man who wrote Webster's Dictionary. And if he's smart enough to write a dictionary, he ought to be smart enough to tell us what a well-regulated militia is, who are the militia, and what is a free state. He says, before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops that can be on any pretense raised in the United States. A force at the command of Congress, Noah says, can execute no laws but such as the people perceive to be just and constitutional. For the people will possess the power, and jealousy will instantly inspire the inclination in the people to resist the execution of a law which appears to them unjust and oppressive. Noah Webster, who are the militia? They are the whole body of the people, not anything organized by Congress. What is a free state? One where the standing army is not ruling, and one where the people out-arm the government. Now, we're going to hear from Richard Henry Lee. If you have been through any of my history classes, you know that without Richard Henry Lee, there would be no Declaration of Independence. Richard Henry Lee is the author of the Lee Resolution, and he is why we have states. And he says, whereas to preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms. If something is essential, can you do without it? If you're always doing something, is there ever a moment when you're not doing it? See, Richard Henry Lee is simply explaining to you, if you are not packing, you are not preserving your liberty. And it is time for us to realize that. It's essential to the preservation of liberty that we can secure our lives. Patrick Henry says, oh, sir, we should have fine times indeed if to punish tyrants it were only sufficient to assemble the people. Your arms wherewith you could defend yourselves are gone. Did you ever read of any revolution in a nation inflicted by those who had no power at all? You see, these ignorant people, these ignorant pundits, these ignorant politicians, these ignorant personalities want us to believe that the whole purpose for the Second Amendment is hunting, skeet shooting, gun collecting. No. Not in the least. It's to keep us from being disarmed, to remind us of our natural right to self-preservation, to keep the government from enforcing unjust and oppressive and unconstitutional laws on us, like we can limit your right to keep and bear arms. That is an unjust and unconstitutional and oppressive tyrannical law. Anything that limits your free man's rights to preserve your life, your liberty, your property is an unjust, tyrannical, and unconstitutional law. And anybody who wants to talk to you about gun control in this manner is ignorant and has no right and should have no privilege to serve you. any politician, any pundit who wants to talk to you about gun control and calls themselves a conservative or a constitutionalist should be fired immediately because they are liars or they are ignorant. And if they are too arrogant to get educated out of their state of ignorance, then they ought not be in the positions that they are. Because you see, our framers had gun control in mind. And it's not about government controlling you. It's about you controlling government. Let's think about that for just a second. These ignorant people want you to believe that the Second Amendment was to preserve your right to hunt. All of these quotes that we have just told, and there are reams and reams and reams of them. I just simply selected a few. If we believe that the Second Amendment was to secure our right to hunt, do we actually believe that our framers were afraid that the deer and the rabbit would organize to disarm us? I mean, because if that's what the Second Amendment is for, the Second Amendment was to keep us from being disarmed. And if it's about hunting, are we afraid that the deer and rabbits would disarm us? Perhaps we're afraid that the gun collectors would arm themselves and keep all the law-abiding citizens from holding guns. Maybe they were afraid that the robbers and the rapists would organize in a criminal racket and keep law-abiding citizens from owning firearms. No. They knew from history, and they knew from human nature, that it's government that will try to take our guns so that they will have more power over us. You see, gun control was in the minds of our framers, and gun control has always meant to the people who founded America that government should never outarm the people. Go to my website, chrisannhall.com. You can read more on this. Get my book, Sovereign Duty. You can read more on this. It's the only way we're going to preserve liberty is if we become educated. My right to tote, the weapon of my choice, don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stay on my ground. Take my job, but not my
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Patrick Henry said that we should guard our liberty. And that we should suspect anyone that approaches that jewel. Anyone that approaches that jewel. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Any person that approaches the jewel of liberty to take it away from you, even 2 feet at a time, should be marked as suspect and should either be educated or remove from their position of influence. America, you who watch Fox News need to call Fox out on this. You need to hold them accountable. They have a position of influence that must be fettered by truth. Must not be controlled by lies to manipulate the people into giving up their liberties. Suspect anyone who approaches that jewel. Because you see, it's not our liberty that we're giving up either. It's the liberty of our children. We are disarming our children and enslaving them to a government that our framers hoped we would never have. Who do you want? Who do you want to be in control? Who do you want to have all the power? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. But when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right, it is the duty of the people to alter or abolish them. You know what? We are not a kingdom. We don't have to chop off heads. We don't have to pick up arms. We alter or abolish by taking away their power and their influence. Don't be brainwashed. Don't be denied your rights, and do not be instrumental in enslaving your own posterity. This is what it means. This is what it's really all about. Because think about it. Are we any safer than we were in 9/11? No, we are less safe. We have shooters on the streets. We have people trying to blow us up all the time now. In spite of what the pundits might want to say, in spite of what the president says, this is not unique to America. My goodness. France! Hello? Anybody watched the news in the UK lately? Anybody seen what's happening in Sweden? This is not unique to America. And all the gun laws in the world are not going to stop crazy criminal psychopaths. California just proved that. Come on. You got a shooting in San Bernardino, California? The state with some of the strictest gun laws in our country? And we're going to say gun control of the people? No. Gun control of the people makes us less safe. You will never see a mass shooting at a gun show. You will never see a mass shooting at a place where people are open carrying. It will not happen. Because people just aren't that stupid. Well, because it's the first law of nature, self-preservation. You're not going to be so stupid to pull out a gun where everybody's got arms, because you won't even get a shot off and you're down. That's dumb. But you go to a place where you know people are not allowed, and I'm saying that with those little quotation mark things, allowed to carry firearms, and it's like shooting fish in a barrel. Come on now, what are you going to do? You got no opponents. We are not safer with more government regulation. We are in greater danger with more government regulation. It's about time that we step up and say, I have a natural right to preserve my life, and I will not allow you, government, to regulate that. Take back your rights. God bless. See you tomorrow.